Welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage as we travel to different spots throughout our community to listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans. This week, ethnomusicologist, composer, and music instructor Craig Corey, as part of the Smithsonian Spotlight Lecture Series hosted by the Arctic Studies Center at the Anchorage Museum, Craig's talk on Dena'ina songs was recorded at the Anchorage Museum on October 3rd.
Hello, and welcome to the Smithsonian Spotlight, a lecture series featuring Alaska Native artists and scholars, which is held on the first Thursday of every month here at the Anchorage Museum. And it's my honor to introduce tonight's speaker, Craig Corey. Craig Corey is a music instructor, ethnomusicologist, and composer from Anchorage, Alaska. He retired from the University of Alaska Anchorage, where he taught courses in theory, piano, and Northern Indigenous music. Corey spent his childhood in Bush, Alaska, and his work as a composer, in many ways, is representative of the traditional songs he heard and the accompanying dances he saw. Corey is the chief author and editor of the book They Sing the Songs of Many Peoples, and I'll let him properly pronounce the Dena'ina title, which was published by the Kitchik Corporation in 2007 in conjunction with the Lake Clark National Park and Preserve. It features the historic recordings that his father, John Corey, made in Non-Dalton in 1954, and is the earliest recordings of Dena'ina song and speech. This book, which comes with a CD of music, will be available after the talk and is available at the Anchorage Museum gift shop after tonight's talk. Please join me in welcoming Craig Corey.
Good evening, I'm Craig Corey. You know, many people ask me when they learn of my involvement with Dena'ina music if I'm Dena'ina, and the answer is I am not. I have just been fortunate to have lived among the Dena'ina, especially as a child in small villages, starting in Pedro Bay on Lake Eliamna in 1952, and then in Non-Dalton 2 years after that. I should say four years after that. My parents were the very first school teachers in Pedro Bay. This is way back when Alaska was still a territory. So much of this is about a recording that my father made when we lived in Non-Dalton in 1950. He made the recording in 1954, which is our second year there. And just getting back to my affiliation with the Dena'ina, even though, you know, I'm not Dena'ina, even I do not speak the language, I do occasionally sing a song in Dena'ina, and it is my intent to sing one for you now. And the song I'm going to sing is, it's an interesting one. I learned the song from a recording by a Dena'ina singer, but it is not in Dena'ina. It is in a language called Derinach, which is another Athabaskan group from the Kuskokwim Valley, just north of the Dena'ina, of the inland Dena'ina. And you see the title here, They Sing the Songs of Many Peoples. That really tells a lot. The Dena'ina singers that my father recorded sang songs in 5 different languages, and one of them was the Degitan or Degina'ch. So I'm going to sing that song for you now. It is, I call it the Shadow Song. I won't tell you anything about it. It will actually come up again later in the program, and you'll get to hear it sung by the original singer on the recording, Anton Ivan. And I have to find my musical instrument here. This will be a substitution for the plank drum, the only instrument that Dena'ina had in these early songs was what was called a plank drum, which is very simple. It's just a plank that was struck with a piece of wood. But I don't have the plank, but I have the piece of wood here, which is a chopstick, and I will use this. It's really just a device for keeping time. Okay, so here's the song. Il y a ne gani tisete Ang ang ahaying negahiyang iliang ansiye gaihang iliane gani disitening ang ang haye heya iliya ansiye gaihang Ang ang ni hang, ilia ne gani disitening. Ang ang hai ye heya, ilia ansi ye gai hang. Ang ang ni hang, ai. Thank you. I'm not really a singer, but that's the only singing I can do, really, is Dena'ina songs occasionally. That song was originally sung on the recording by Anton Ivan, and I have permission from his daughter, Laura, to sing the song. And Laura, are you here? If you are, would you please stand up? This is the singer's daughter right here. This is Laura Lee, formerly Laura Ivan. Thank you. I also have permission from Kijik Corporation, who published the book, to use these songs for the purpose of this talk. And I thank Kijik. I also thank the Non-Dalton Tribal Council and all the people who were involved in the production of the book. And that includes the National Park Service, who was very instrumental in who took a great interest in this recording and was instrumental in getting it published. Okay, we are ready to talk about a song here. This is one of the songs on the recording, and it's sung by a very fine singer, Gabriel Trifon. The origin of this song is It's a little obscure. Now, first of all, it doesn't have any lyrics in it. It's made up entirely of what we call vocables, which are just syllables but that aren't actually words. It's from a region to the north, as it's described on here, up in the Kuskokwim River, upper Kuskokwim area. And it's one other example of this multilingualism, this incredible diversity expressed by the singers from the Non-Dalton area. And I should emphasize at this time that the music I'm talking about here is the music of the Inland Dena'ina. The Inland Dena'ina are the Dena'ina of the Lake Clark, Lake Iliamna area and north of there, as opposed to the coastal Dena'ina who are in the Cook Inlet area. There are several different regions, and these songs were all, of course, were recorded in Non-Dalton, so they're Inland Dena'ina songs. So I'm going to play you this song now. It is it's a dance song, and as I said, there are no words. It was described by Andrew Beluda as a fun dance song. And I think it came from the village of Nikolai, according to Andrew. Andrew was one of our principal informants. And Gabriel Trifon, who sings it, was one of the principal singers on the tape, a very, very fine singer, and he was chief at the time that we lived there in the 1950s, and I'll be saying more about him later. Hey, You can hear the plank drum, or he's beating on the plank drum, and that is accompaniment to many of the songs that you'll hear. So, where is Nun Dalton? Some of you probably know, and some of you may not. It's a very contentious area right now. The Pebble Mine, which I'm sure many of you know about, well, it's not a mine yet, but it's proposed to be a mine, is just a few miles west of there, right in that area, right there, and just north of Iliamna Lake. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about the significance of this recording. This is a photograph of my father, by the way, made, by this time, we had already moved out of Nun Dalton. We were living in Port Graham down on the lower Kenai Peninsula. So my father, as I said, taught in Pedro Bay. Then we moved to Nun Dalton and taught school there. And one of the first things he did was get a hold of one of the early tape recorders. It was a Revere tape recorder that I think recorded at just one speed, but it was a good machine. It made very good audio. We had a gas generator. And my father made the tapes for his parents who lived in Los Angeles. And that was really the purpose. He had no idea of the significance of what he was doing. They were just letters to the folks, he called them. And one of these letters took the form of this audio tape of these singers that he invited to come in to the schoolhouse and sing. And they did. And after my grandparents got the tapes, they just held on to them, and we didn't even get them back until after my father had died. He didn't live much longer after that, actually. But anyway, we got the tapes back. Years later, they said, we thought you'd like to have these. And eventually, my friend John Branson, I believe John is here now too, works for the National Park Service, a historian, expressed a great deal of interest in the tape. And so the National Park Service got a copy, and they decided they would like to have translations. It all came about very slowly. It didn't happen all at once. But one thing I should mention is this right here. This is what's important, that in the 1950s in Nun Dalton, there was still a chief, and he knew all the old traditions, and there were many other elders there that knew the old traditions that were rapidly disappearing, and many of which have disappeared since that time. So it was a very critical time, and just a stroke of fortune that my father was there, had an interest, and had the tape recorder, and made this recording. And I actually used some of the material in my master's thesis when I was doing composition in graduate school. I already mentioned the National Park Service and their involvement here. And we eventually hired James Carey, who is expert on Dena'ina language, and also Andrew Beluda, to translate. And it was in the process of doing the translations that they discovered that there were many, many languages, not just Dena'ina, but also some Yupik and some Degitan and some Russian. There's even an Inupiat song on there. The most significant discovery, though, was this, that it was the very earliest recording made of Dena'ina song and speech. And you think, well, gee, you know, that wasn't that long ago. But in our short history in Alaska, it is a long time ago, 1954. So we're going to visit another song now. And this song will be sung again by Gabriel Trifon, whom you just heard sing. So Gabriel actually became the principal informant for my father in this recording. He's going to sing a war song. And like the previous song, this war song is almost entirely in vocables. So how do we even know it's a war song? Well, First of all, it was described as being a war song, and there are a couple of words in it, but you wouldn't be able to tell much by the words, because the words are here something, and we don't know what the something is. Here something is torn off, and that's all we have. Being able to translate that little bit there. The rest are vocables, but at the end of this recording, there is a speech, a monologue, and it's very interesting because it is spoken, first of all, in what is called the high language, which is not spoken anymore. Andrew knew the high language. He could understand it. He didn't speak it, but he could understand it, and he was able to translate what was said. And the high language is best described as what we might think of as, you know, Shakespearean, something that we would use in oratory, okay? So what he says is, should I put myself, parentheses, in the enemy's thoughts, wherever trails might be going to there, he would say. Nearby, out ahead, the denying of people are coming back. Perhaps, just perhaps, they would feel sorry for me. Perhaps I can get away somewhere. Now, here, if I put myself in the enemy's thoughts. That's all. So what does that mean? First of all, he's talking about the Dena'ina, so he must not be Dena'ina. He's not. This is Dena'ina singer impersonating a Yupik warrior. They had a lot of battles between the Dena'ina and the Yupik hundreds of years ago, and he's pretending not just to be a Yupik warrior, but he's pretending to be afraid. He's afraid of the Dena'ina. He's afraid of being ambushed. This is a way of making the enemy weak, you see. So by pretending to be the enemy but being weak, then you're just sort of casting a spell. And that's why I describe this song as casting a spell. And that's exactly what it's intended to do. It's not a war song when you think of a Native American war song to kind of, you know, drum up enthusiasm for going to battle. Not at all. It's very sneaky. This is how to, this sort of, it's a kind of subversion, if you will. And I mentioned already the high language there, the oratory. And you'll hear when he speaks at the end, this language is very, you know, it sounds like he's, you know, speaking a poem of some sort. And at the very end, you'll hear my father identify the song, and all my father says is something about it being a war song hundreds of years old. So he really knew nothing about it other than it was a war song. And
Bali home, yo.
The song that was just heard here is an old war song said to be about 200 years old, depicting warfare between the Tana'ina and Aleut people.
You'll notice my dad says Tanaina instead of Danaina, or sometimes now they say Denaina. But that's the old way that it's pronounced, and you see it spelled differently in the older literature. This part I'm not going to spend quite as much time on, but this just describes a little bit about how we went about publishing the recording. We had to work with Kijik Corporation, who actually was the publisher, but we had to get permission from the Nundalton Tribal Council, and Lake Clark National Park was very, very involved also. We applied for something called a Heritage Preservation Fund grant, and these grants are only available to Native corporations or tribal organizations, and it's a federal grant. It was fairly involved, but we did it. We got just about everything we asked for, and it was really a very good experience for me getting involved in this. So I was the prime investigator, I think is the word they use on the grant. Jim Carey was the head translator, working with Andrew Beluda. Karen Stickman was the project director. I'm sorry, she's not Karen Stickman anymore. She's Karen Ivanoff. George Alexi was involved. George was he's the one that did the interview at the end of the book. And then we hired translators. I already mentioned Andrew Beluda. We hired Marie Mead to do the Yupik translations to the extent that she was able to. Helen Dick from Lyme Village did the Derinach translations. We had to find somebody in Barrow, Ron Brower, to do the translate the Inupiaq song, which it turns out was in a very strange Inupiaq dialect that hardly anybody knew. We also got help from Father Michael Alexa, the Russian priest, translating some of the Russian, and Alexandra Maloney, who is an expert in Siberian languages, and she helped with the Russian stuff as well. And when we decided to publish the book, we also made provisions for taking it on tour and distributing it free of charge to five different inland Dena'ina villages. And we wrote that into the grant. This is what it looks like inside the book, and I won't spend a great deal of time on this, but you can see a little bit what the layout is here. Photos, some transcriptions, not all the songs are just transcribed, but most of them are, and then description of a bio of the singer, as much as we know, and then the original lyrics in Dena'ina, and then a translation in English using a different color. And a map we put together. And this map is a very good one, in my opinion, because it shows all the places with the original Dena'ina place names. And place names are extremely important in these songs. Location, and you'll know more about that as we proceed here. This is a particular important area right here. This is Tainik, which is the upper plateau area, and this is the ancestral homeland of the Dena'ina people. This is where they came from, and they also consider it their spiritual homeland. And there'll be more about that again as we proceed. There's Nundalton again. There's Lake Clark, which Kijakvena, many people's gathered lake, the name of it. I live on Lake Clark. I have a summer home right there under that mountain, Titsnadzini, which means goes deep to water. They have wonderful, wonderful place names that really describe something about the place. So it's a very nice map. We're going to talk about Gabriel's brother, Wasili Trifon. You know, someone may at some point in your life ask you and say if you wanted to become a singer, whose voice would you like to have? And, you know, Ben would probably say Luciano Pavarotti or Paul McCartney, and I would probably say Wassily Trifon. Wassily Trifon has not just a good voice, but very, very expressive voice, and he's, again, this ability of him to sing in different languages. He lived for a while in Kakanak, which is a village on Lake Iliamna on the south side, and that was where he, I think, picked up the Yupik and became, I don't know if he was fluent in Yupik, but he certainly learned to sing some Yupik songs. There's a little bit about him here. He was born in that same spot where his brother Gabriel was, and I showed you that little tiny clearing near that creek there. There's a little story about Wass that was told to me by Andrew Beluda, and he said, Wass was taking a body, somebody had died, from Eagle Bay on Lake Iliamna to Nundalton. It was his best friend, Nick Karltikoff's dad, who was originally from Nundalton. Wass was taking his body home back to Nundalton to bury him. So he brought him over with a dog team, and when he came in view of Nundalton, he stopped and made a song for him. So this is Wass Trifon, the composer. He would not just sing songs, but he was a composer. He would make his own songs up. And he, later on in this a series of recordings, he took a very significant role as song leader in one of the songs. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit here. When possible, we put in the denying a name for the kind of song. This means that it's a love song, to deny a love song. So we're going to hear this. We're going to hear this song, and it's an example of the denying a solo song, which is a very expressive kind of song. And it has a lot of, it has a very, very free rhythm. It's one of the characteristics of this particular type of song. It sounds almost improvised, almost like it's being made up, which it could have been, I'm not even sure. But it expresses his feeling of sorrow for his wife who had to go to the hospital because she was sick. And these are the words. Still for you, I look there, I cry to you. What can I do about it in the sky there? What can I do about it in the sky? He's looking up because he's waiting for the airplane to come back, and the airplane is going to bring his wife home. I look for you inside there, I cry to you. So he repeats himself a bit, and then finally says, when you were staying there, staying in the hospital, I sang this. Now do you see? Do you understand? There's a transcription. Those of you who have knowledge of musical notation will notice that I don't put any bar lines in here. Normally you'll have vertical lines dividing music up into measures, and I don't do that because there's really no sense of meter or regularity in the way the beats are grouped, especially in a song like this. And here's the song.
No.
You heard one place there where the song faded out and then came back in, and I actually engineered that when I engineered the sound, because I don't know, someone had bumped the microphone or something in the recording, and it was a real harsh, horrible sound, and it was the easiest way I could find to take care of that. But I'll show you more about what I did in the sound editing process as we proceed here. It got a little bit complicated on a couple of songs.
You are listening to Addressing Alaskans with ethnomusicologist, composer, and music instructor Craig Corey. His talk on Dena'ina songs was recorded at the Anchorage Museum on October 3rd.
Okay. Now we're going to move to another song by Wasili, sung by Wasili Trifon. And this one is a Yupik song, although he describes it as an Aleut song. And the term Aleut was used very generally to describe any of the natives who were not Dena'ina. So it could apply to Yupik people, or it could be Degitan people. And sometimes they would use the term Eskimo. But it was a little bit wrong, because Eskimo would be more appropriate for Yupik than say a Degitan person. In any case, if you happen to purchase a copy of the book and you hear Aleut mentioned in there, they aren't really Aleuts. And of course, the term Aleut is a Russian word, which is not really in use anymore either. The Aleuts, what used to be the Aleuts, are the Unangah. He will describe the origin of this song as having been on the New Halen River, which is right in between Lake Clark and Lake Galeomna. It's a very strange song, because he describes it as a love song, but the words don't indicate anything of the sort when you see the words. However, there are also some words that are missing, because the translator was unable to translate all of them. So it gets complicated. So these are the words. May I sleep, may I continue to bark, I continue to be afraid. And you can see by looking at the lyrics here that they don't look anything like Dena'ina. Question mark, what does that mean? I continue to speak in a loud tone of voice, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end he says, it's an Aleut song, it's part Aleut song and love song, and it's made down the New Halen River. And I want to mention before I play this song that I consider them sort of hybrid Dena'ina Yupik songs. They're some of the most interesting songs that I've heard, because they don't sound anything like coastal Yupik at all, nor do they sound like Dena'ina, except that they're sung by Dena'ina singers and they have some of the Dena'ina inflections. But you'll hear the distinction when you hear this song sung by the same singer who just sang the love song, or the other love song, the Dena'ina love song. Now compare it to this Yupik love song and you hear how different it is.
Pa valiang a kalok
Each
voice is sung twice, but the music changes in the second verse. Now we're here.
That's the end of it.
Will you please tell us what kind of a song that is and what it's about?
It is an Aleut song yet, still. It's a part of the Aleut song and a love song. It's made down in the river.
So there was an example, a good example of a sort of a hybrid Dena'ina Yupik song. And what I'll show you here is some of what I did in the sound editing, which was a very involved process. I had a lot of fun doing it, but it was not easy. This particular song originally started like this. You hear where it's cut off at the beginning, and you can see that right there on the waveform. It's missing. The very first syllable is missing. But because of the form of the song and the fact that I knew that that word was going to come back in the next verse, I was able to record a little segment of that when it reappears. And then move it, we call it transpose in music, transpose it down to the proper pitch. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the excerpt. Here it is moved down. Now it's lower in pitch, and now I paste it back on to the original so the song can start properly. Without that, what I call the truncated beginning where it was cut off. But I could only do that because I knew enough about the song, about the form of the song. I knew what came before there. I knew what had been missing. This is an interesting song. It's a Russian love song. And we attempted to get it translated, but we had a hard time because it's in a very, very old Slavic dialect. And that's really all that the translator could tell us. And she said, you know, I think I know what that word is, and I think I know what that word is. But we didn't get much. It was most likely brought in by Russian traders. Looks like I got too many S's in Russian there. And like I said, it's a fragmentary translation. You will hear it sung by Gabriel Trifon. I've already talked about him, and he identifies it as a love song. And it's got, first of all, diatonic just means that it's in a key. It's when you hear the song, you'll think of it as a song that would be maybe easier for you to learn because of the music that you're familiar with. In fact, it's in the key of B major. And there's a refrain in there, which goes, ni, 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 and it's really similar to what we would sing if we just sing la, 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 la. So let's hear the old, very, very old Russian love song. We don't know how it got there because we could assume that, you know, maybe a Russian priest, but it might have been a Russian trader. Who knows? But this song covered a lot of territory in getting from wherever it was in Russia all the way to Nundalton.
Priya, priya, kao, o zrastiel kao, o bezakumit na maya, iri ni 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 pok na maya, dio. Этим топерина запищай
Priya, Priya, Ka, O Drashti Song, O Biza Kumis Namayam, Yirinininini Puknamayashai, Diyo, Vaitim Tsapirina Zapishai.
And now we have come to the shadow song, the one I sang for you at the beginning. So this describes a little bit the origin here, and this is it's a very fascinating song because of the fact that it's in a rare dialect, but also because, again, it's one of those situations where the words don't really tell you very much about the song, because there's the mention of a shadow in there, and this person is looking upstream and keeps seeing this shadow. And you would never know from the lyrics that shadow is a black bear. But this was information that we got from an informed elder who said, oh yeah, I know that song. It's about a man who sees a black bear. And the black bear in the song is probably a shadow spirit or an animal helper spirit. But again, we don't know. We're guessing here, but we do know that it is about a black bear. And these are the words, which repeat. It's really not much to it. Oh my, what is this thing here upstream you are saying to me? Across there and in the upstream only. Oh my, upstream. So that is only my shadow. And you will now hear Anton Ivan sing it.
Liya ne kane tshini ngi ong ong khayang liya nga onsiye kayang liya ne kane tshini ngi ong khayang Aliya onchi ye kayang angang e hang Aliya ni ka ni tsuti ni ang ha ye khaya Aliya onchi ye kayang angang e hang. That's the end of it.
It's unfortunate that Anton only sang once on this tape because he's a very, very fine singer. He had a huge repertoire, but he did make other recordings for other people. And he was also a very, very fine storyteller. And now we're going to come to what is, without a doubt, the most significant song on the entire collection. It's known as a Yunich Keli, or a upriver song. And the singers are, it's listed here, Gabriel Trifon, Wassily Trifon, who has an extremely important role in here, Pete Trifon, they're all brothers, Benjamin Trifon, Anton is in here, Pete Koktalash, and Paul Kuzma. And this photo is on the cop, is the on the front of the book, and that shows you the plank drum there. And in some cases, and you'll see this in the exhibit upstairs, I think that plank is being held by two different people, one on each end, and then a third person beating it. But in this photo, Gabriel Trifon is holding up one end and also beating on the plank drum. Now, this photo does not really go with this song, that is to say, this photo was taken later and it was a different event, but it shows you the setup here for the pounding of the plank drum, the group of people singing. So this was taken in 1962. Now, this photo was also upstairs, and there's a big, large blow-up of it. So this is a very rare song, because it was a very, very old tradition, and this is one of the last times that this song has been sung subsequent to that for other memorials, but I've noticed in later recordings that I've heard that the song has changed. And it's just an extremely compelling song for many reasons. Very fine singers assembled here. You can tell there's a lot of urgency in the performance, but I would like to say that the performance, my father did not attempt to go and record the actual memorial potlatch. He invited the singers in a few days ahead of time to sing for him. So this was not at the actual ceremony. But what happened is that a person had died. He had gone through the ice with his dog team. I remember when it happened, we were in school, and someone pointed out the window and said, "Look, somebody just went through the ice." And of course, school got canceled, and they pulled him out of there. They got him out, but it was too late. He drowned. And quite a while later, they held this potlatch for him because the potlatch would not have been held right away. What happens is that the man's spirit is said to be among the living for a while. And it's not until later, when they actually have finished mourning and they've given away his belongings, that his spirit is allowed to go back to the spirit world. And that's when this memorial potlatch takes place. So my father got the people to come in and sing. And they just sang, obviously, a short excerpt from it. He didn't get all of the music by any means. He did interrupt a few times. In some places, he said things that were inaccurate, and I took them out because they weren't really, really relevant. And I'm going to tell you some of the things to listen for here. This shows you, again, the Dena'ina lyrics right here. First, you'll hear Wassily Trifon call out the words to each phrase right before they sing it. You'll hear him call out, and it sounds like he's lamenting or something, but he's not. He's actually telling them what to sing in each verse right ahead, just before they sing it. What's happening here is that the deceased man's spirit is being sung on its journey homeward. They've finished mourning, and it's they're sending his spirit away. They're sending it back to the spirit world. This was translated by Andrew and Jim. It took them a long time. There is much mention of place names in here, and anything associated with this person who had died, not just places he had been, but also his personal belongings. And there's a lot of reference to something extending or something coming out. And that word for extending is nanyili, and you hear that a lot. And I talked to the anthropologist Alan Boris about this, and he tried to explain to me what that means. And it's almost as if there's a kind of an animated landscape. As they sing, they're sort of singing this landscape into being, and they're visualizing it. And one of the things that Andrew Beluda noticed when he did the translation with Jim was that the place names are sequenced in what he calls, I'm not sure I can pronounce that, Ketu'uch, the way the sun goes around. An ancient Athabascan ritualistic pattern always beginning in the north. And if you see the exhibit upstairs and read, you'll read that the Dena'ina originated from further north. They were interior, and they moved southward and eventually branched out into the coastal areas. But they consider at least at this time, considered the north to be their ancient homeland and their spiritual homeland as well. And their name for that is Hatsainik. It's right there. And in the song, you'll see a slightly different version of it, Sinan, but it's the same thing. Sinan, Upper Plateau. It's the high country up there at the head of the Swift River and the Stony River and the Mulchatna River. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but it's a really magnificent country. And there's a very significant mountain up there at the head of Caribou Hair Lake, Turquoise Lake, Tlacona Mountain, which is the animals locked up in mountain. That's the name of the mountain, and it's where all the animals originated from. And there's a story and a song that goes with that as well, but that's not on this recording. Here's the refrain. It's a very, very significant song. And we were very fortunate that the singers agreed to come in and sing that for us way back in 1954, though, so that my father could record it. And that's the end of my talk, and I'll be happy to answer questions if any of you have questions. And there are books if you would like to purchase a book, and I'll be happy to autograph it for you as well. Thank you very much for coming.
You've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with ethnomusicologist, composer, and music instructor Craig Corey. His talk on Dena'ina Songs was part of the Smithsonian Spotlight Lecture Series, hosted by the Arctic Studies Center at the Anchorage Museum on October 3, 2013. Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The music is by Patrick Lee. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. Learn more about Addressing Alaskans and listen online anytime at alaskapublic.org. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Platt. Thanks for listening.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.